That's the New York Ska Jazz Ensemble with a relaxed version of Dave Brubeck's Take Five. That's from their 2008 album, Step Forward. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lee. It is Tuesday, April the 29th. And yes, that's where I'm going. I'm talking about Mr. Donald Sterling today. But from an entirely different point of view, if you permit me to make my case. So let's start off with this whole, give you a small lead into where it is I'm going. So today, in fact, right after the program at around 2 o'clock, the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is supposed to be announcing what sanctions, if any, he will impose against Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling, who, of course, has been heard purportedly on this recorded conversation with his girlfriend of many names about that revealed racist statements about African Americans. And others, by the way, he kind of went for the whole cloth. He went straight across the swath here. But look, let's listen to a brief interview. Here's Jim Hill. He's a very respected sports anchor for CBS2 in Los Angeles. And he was interviewing Magic Johnson about Sterling and racism in basketball. Let's take a listen.
Posted an audio of a conversation between a man they say is Sterling making racist remarks to his girlfriend. Here is some of that purported conversation.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people.
I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good. I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. Him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
Now, those alleged remarks by Sterling have caused an uproar across the sports world. And perhaps the person most upset about the situation is Magic himself. I sat down with Magic today to discuss the Clippers owner.
Well, Jim, I'm very disappointed and angry, upset. Let's go back when I first got here in 1979, 80. Dr. Buss, our first real party that we went to was at Donald Sterling's beach home in Malibu. So he took me out there to meet Donald Sterling, and he gives his annual barbecue. And then ever since then, since Dr. Buss introduced me to Donald Sterling, when he bought the Clippers, and we've been out, we've had lunch, and we shared meals. We talked about his team. And so I thought we had a sort of a friendship, even though it may have been a distant friendship, but I respect him. I thought he'd respect me. But when these comments came out, it hurt. It hurt. It didn't hurt me as much personally as it hurt me for all African Americans. If you come to me and say, "Hey, look, I'm a racist, or I discriminate against blacks, or I don't like you because you are African," I respect that. I can respect you more by doing that. But don't smile in my face, shake my hand, and then you don't really respect me or want me to be around or come to your games as the owner of the Clippers. So I feel bad for Doc Rivers and Chris Paul and all those guys who are African Americans that play for now Donald Sterling. And then you think about all the people who live in his apartment buildings. Some of them are African Americans. So we're putting a lot of money, Jim, in his pocket. But at the same time, he doesn't want us in the arena or to come to the Clipper games. And so I think that all of us are outraged. We're all upset who are African Americans, because if you're going to be like this, why are you owning a team in the NBA, which, what, is over 70% African American basketball players? So I think he should step down. You know, it's if you feel like that in a league that's predominantly African Americans, you shouldn't be owning a team.
Just sell it.
Yeah, it's just dumb. And then being in a town like L.A., that this is a great melting pot for different races of people. And we all come together. We love our teams. This is what's crazy about it. African Americans love the Lakers. They love the Dodgers. They love the Clippers. You know, USC, UCLA. We love our teams. And nobody else has a problem with that. Now, all of a sudden, he has a problem with African Americans. And it's a shame because of the fact that, you know, we all should, at this time, here we are now, 2014, and we still having people discriminating against African Americans and an owner in the NBA, Donald Sterling. That's uncalled for. We can't have it. It has no place in the NBA. And Commissioner Silver going to really have to make a big decision here.
Because this is going to be the first major decision that the new commissioner is going to be faced with. And this is more than making a decision on discipline.
Yes, because we've seen it happen, Marshot. We've seen it happen before in leagues, and they had to give up their teams. And so Adams really going to have to make a big decision here, because this is a black eye for the league. It's not just a black eye for Los Angeles and Clipper fans, but for the league. And so this is going to be a really important, big first decision that he has to make. And if I'm Donald myself, I would just after the end of the season, just say, hey, I'm going to get out of it. So why? Because why are you staying in it? If you have these feelings about African Americans and you have to employ them, you know, why are you owning the team? You should just go away and have those feelings, because if that's who you are, that's who you are. But you shouldn't be in the NBA if you have those type of feelings.
Well, that sounds pretty straightforward and logical and so forth. But I guess where I'm going to get some criticism for it, because I think that all of these things that were said by Magic Johnson and many others, they've expressed, you know, appropriately outrage at these comments and so forth. But let's take a look at the environment of these comments, okay? Clearly, this was a tape made to basically communicate something. This was a tape made deliberately to goad the speaker, and I'm not suggesting that he's a hero of any sort, Mr. Sterling, into a particular kind of conversation. And it is clear that if there are two people involved in this discussion, a supposedly private discussion, an intimate discussion, with both parties allegedly knowing each other, there's a way that people talk when they trust you and you are intimate with them and they with you, and you have a particular relationship established, that they don't necessarily have to hold back. So he was speaking more than likely the way he normally would have spoken with Ms. Steviano, as she's being called, but she also goes by the name Vivian Steviano, also known as Vanessa Maria Perez, also known as Monica Gallegos, also known as Maria Monica Perez Gallegos, also known as Maria Valdez. So we don't know who the heck she is. And apparently she doesn't know who she is either. I'll come to that in a minute. But they're having a conversation with one party knowing that a recording is being made. Now, the reason that they have this conversation is because the party making the tape, I would surmise, knows ahead of time that this is a very likely type of feeling that could be expressed within the context of a conversation. They wouldn't make a tape without having an inkling, somehow an inkling that this conversation would likely go this way. So the questions are asked, and there's a lot of goading. And you're talking about an 80-year-old man and a young 30-something-year-old woman, and the relationship between them, according to Mr. Sterling's soon-to-be ex-wife, is one in which Ms. Gallegos or Ms. Vanessa Perez or Ms. Steviano, whoever she is, has a particular relationship with this man. And in that lawsuit, the ex-wife is suing Ms. Steviano, Ms. Perez, Ms. Gallegos, Ms. Perez Gallegos, Ms. Valdez being sued for basically embezzling is the word that they said, that she was embezzling money, but actually it was that they're making the case that this young woman had fleeced in the relationship with Donald Sterling, had fleeced some money and other things from him in excess or amounting to almost $2 million. Okay. So they have a relationship of some sort, and this is a relationship. And she's very careful in this discussion to let it be known. You know, I am mixed, she says. And why do you hate black people? I am Mexican and black. Well, let's deal with that. When you look at the facial, and I should just say the complexion of the young lady, and you see pictures of her before, it's clear that she made certain adjustments to her physique and to her look in order to satisfy the particular proclivities of the person or persons who would want her next to them, you know? She certainly looked very different from her before days. The look she has now is quite different from the look she had then. So she basically made herself to be appealing to the person or persons she wanted to get close to. And in my view, the conversation suggested that she knew that there was a particular problem that Donald Sterling had, and it's psychological. I know I'm going whole hog here. There's a psychosexual thing going on here. The reason he was so mad, it seems to me, about her basically, he called it, don't be walking around with these black men, is a psychosexual thing. He's an old white guy, probably unable to perform. And there if he sees her, as in his mind, parading herself around with black men, she's kind of sending a covert message that, hey, if you don't measure up, guess what? Here's your competition. And that drove him over the edge. The conversation suggests that to me, that she understood that this was a weakness, and he probably had expressed it to her before. And this was an agreement. She had agreed to observe the rules because of it. She has an interest. She has a pecuniary interest in this relationship. It is a relationship that pays quite well, apparently. And, you know, she has $1.8 million condo. She's living very well. She has two Bentleys and a Range Rover and a Ferrari. And she is living quite well for a lady with dubious credentials. And so there's a coming to terms here, however you want to make it, you're coming to terms with Donald Sterling. And at some point, she is threatened. Something has happened, possibly the lawsuit by the ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife. Something has happened to dislodge this relationship, and somebody's going ballistic, whether it is the ex-wife or whether it is Mr. Well, Lord, how many? For the purposes of this discussion, I will call her by her most recent name, Ms. Stiviano. Ms. Stiviano has decided that she is going to take the attack, the line of attack first. Okay. Now, there isn't anybody in basketball, and it's really disconcerting to hear people talk as if, oh my God, this is awful. They know this man's history. It's not like this is mysterious. He's not an unknown person in the field of basketball. They've known this a while. But it is an interesting thing that it is the psychosexual relationship going on here that is now giving people the opportunity to be righteous. Nobody was brave enough to confront this man on the basis of employment discrimination, of racism. They weren't up to it at all. But now that this psychosexual, this prurient thing has happened, and it opens a little window and it makes this guy vulnerable to attack. Now everybody's attacking and they're sounding all righteous. The basketball players do not have generally very good reputations either. You know, they haven't been the exemplars of good behavior, nor have they been exemplars as race people, as they used to be called, like Muhammad Ali, taking a position. They had decided that all they want to do is make a living. They don't want to trouble the water. They're not getting involved in any legal battles at all. They're not taking on a fight. But we have this young woman who has obviously has her own agenda, providing the wherewithal now, because now it becomes something else. They could hide behind a psychosexual issue rather than having the guts on their own initiative to take on the man. And now everybody's righteous. And we know, because if you read the papers, the basketball world is a world, this is how, this is consistent with their behavior and conduct. Don Sterling isn't acting out of turn. He's acting just like the ball players. Many ball players are acting like this. They're behaving just like that. So to get up now and talk about, well, you know, this, we can't have this, and it's racism, and now they're hiding behind racism, and yet they're dealing with this issue. I just wanted to bring that to people's attention. They haven't had the guts to take on this issue for what it was. Between them and this boss who has had a long history of racism. But now they're going to hide behind this thing and say, well, yeah, you know, this is just, oh, we can't have that. Oh, this is terrible. Yeah. It's like, well, and then we have the plunderers lining up. You know, it's getting really incredible. We have the plunderers lining up. Who is lining up? The self-styled civil rights leaders. Al Sharpton's people issued a news released today, saying that Al Sharpton, I'm reading the thing, the release, is calling on the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to meet with himself and other civil rights leaders this week in regard to the investigation outcome and the next steps, as well as to safeguard. Oh, Lord, it goes on. But anyway, the release says, Al Sharpton will be meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus in Washington, D.C. to address the L.A. Clippers situation. And a whole bunch of other folks, they're coming together. The National Urban League President Marc Morial, the interim president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, Lorraine Miller, president of the National Coalition of Black Civic Participation, Melanie Campbell, and a big bunch of civil rights folks. So now they have taken, essentially, in my head, this still is the tape is not about basketball per se. It's about a man expressing his intimate thoughts in what he thought would have been a private moment, even though they're fighting. He's expressing his thoughts consistent with his history with whoever was taping this conversation. And they're going to have all of this now serve as if it were a civil rights issue. And it isn't. It isn't a civil rights issue. They're going to make it a civil rights issue. But my point is, if you're going to make this a civil rights issue, at least have the guts to stand up outside of some woman taping her man and goading him in a really private moment. And he doesn't care. He's old and whatever. He has enough money to defend himself against any kind of lawsuit. And suddenly this becomes a civil rights issue. That troubles me a great deal. A lot of these folks, the NAACP actually gave this man a lifetime award. And they were going to give him another one this year. They were going to do that just next month. Why? Because he had given them some money, a little bit of money. And in return for like $20,000 here and $5,000 there and no more than $45,000 altogether from 2008 to now. And for that, they were going to give him a lifetime award. That's how cheap you can have these folks. Marc Morial, the guy who issued, I had the discussion here about the National Urban League issuing this annual report, which people have been talking about for years. Now you're going to insist on imposing yourself. And they do this because there's money. There's money and there's power and there's notoriety involved. And they don't care how they get it. Even if they have to hitch their wagons to basically a sex scandal. That's what they're going to do to get it. For $45,000, that's not even a lot of money. And they know this man for years. He has had these racism claims against him for so many years. He's not an unknown entity in the racism department. But now everybody's sanctimonious. Everybody's righteous. The ball players are acting like, we don't do these kinds of things. We don't behave this way. Really. They're all on the plantation, behaving exactly like life on the old plantation. The boss could do whatever he wants. You have the people in the field, that's the players, and you have the house people, and you have the favorite woman of the day that he could choose and pick and choose for his sexual pleasure. It's all plantation life. But what bugs me is they don't have the courage. The ball players never have had the courage separate from this sex scandal, which just opens the door to discuss this issue, you know, kind of a sideways entry. But they didn't have the guts to do it themselves straight up and say, no, we're challenging this man. We don't like this. This is going on, such and such. A straight legal lawsuit, a legal issue. So that's the issue. And that's why they know that this story becomes important. Because the people who had the tape, the people who made the tape had their reasons for it. And that was to get this person to literally indict himself, which he did. And the reason he did it was because he was being himself. And somebody who taped it knew that that's the way he is. So they'll get it on tape. And it will serve a purpose beyond what we ever might have thought about. But that tape was made for a reason, and the person who made the tape obviously didn't tell him, hey, you know, I'm taping you, so watch what you say. The person who made the tape knew precisely where he was likely to go. The person who made the tape knows this man, knows the way he thinks, and knows what it is he desired ahead of time, and had apparently agreed. However they worked it out, agreed to fulfill a particular role with respect to this man and his psychosexual needs. They agreed to it. Something happened, and then the person became vengeful and said, well, hey, I will show you. The tape comes out. And typically, nobody is discussing. They're all discussing racism. Nobody's discussing what is so clear. We're discussing racism, but in what context? In the context of a private conversation a racist man is having with somebody who knew him to be a racist and was okay with it. because, well, there were a lot of goodies to be had, and that's the arrangement. But I guess in this world, it doesn't matter. And then you have these buzzards, you know, circling carcass even before it rots. And their thing is, well, we got to have our peace, and because they smell money. When in fact, your organization got a measly $45,000 in grants over a period of, what, 3 or 4 years, and you are so easily malleable, that is enough to have you give this man with a known history of racism and discrimination a lifetime award, and then you were ready to give him another just next month. What is going on here? Here's what bothers me. Everybody in two shakes, I mean, they could organize a very credible resistance to this subject, which they now have made a civil rights issue. Well, I'm not a great lawyer of any sort. I certainly gave an insight into how this man is thinking, but I would imagine that some lawyer would say, well, look, you know, this conversation, although it's ugly and really looks bad and smells bad, is really a bad thing. It's just about a guy expressing his soul to somebody he clearly trusted to be frank with and open with, and therefore he had no reason to be unlike himself, his regular self. So he was just simply being himself. And it may sound a bit contradictory when he says, well, I love black people, I like black people, but just I don't want them in my games. That may sound contradictory to some folks, and it is. But if you see it in a psychosexual context, you understand exactly where this man is coming from. Young black men, vigorous young black men, he sees them as a psychosexual threat to his relationship with the person, whoever it might have been, who made this tape. But here's what really annoys me. Again, apart from the fact that these ball players who are now so sanctimonious and courageous and talking about what should and shouldn't be, when they have no standing as a group, the behavior of them and their wives. You know, there was this reality show. It was shameful how their wives and girlfriends and whoever else, fiancés or whatever it is, conducted themselves. They don't have standing here. They do not have moral standing. They would have had moral standing if on their own, not hiding behind some sexual perversion or sexual prurience, that they decided to make this a civil rights issue. But these same civil rights leaders, so concerned. A report came out, and we talked about it on this program, from the Los Angeles, the UCLA project, civil rights project, the UCLA Civil Rights Project, that said New York schools were the most segregated in the nation, worse than even before Brown versus Board of Ed. Not one of these civil rights leaders has taken offense at that. Not one of them has taken the initiative to file a lawsuit and say, we are not going to tolerate this. Not one of them has had the courage to go up against the governor of the state of New York and say, well, how is this to be? How could we tolerate this? Our schools in New York City and New York State are more segregated than any schools in the nation. And they were using figures from more than 60 years old, figures from way back when, that show consistently the pattern is exactly the same today as it was before Brown versus Board of Ed. Not one of these people who are lining up now, because they smell money and they smell a high-profile situation. This is the kind of thing they love. They love this. So they're making this a civil rights issue as well. We're going to jump in here and we demand that the NBA commissioner speak with us. What are you, in the basketball business now? When it was stop and frisk, and we had the offshoot of stop and frisk, when these people went shopping at Macy's and they went shopping at Barnes and Barney's. Have you heard anything since then? No. We are going to be talking with Macy's and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, Macy's is sponsoring, as one of the sponsors of a dinner. And all of a sudden, Macy's is all right. So which is more offensive? The young lady who has basically crafted herself to be marketable, highly marketable, to an aging billionaire with deeply entrenched racist views, living in antediluvian USA, antebellum USA, and has the money to do whatever it is he wishes, including to command this person, that she obviously felt a need to remake herself, despite the fact she insists that she, on the tape, she insists she is African-Mexican. But she's done everything possible to erase the African part. And if you go by the name that she's going by now, she insists on being Italian, Stiviano, not Perez. She prefers to be Miss Stiviano. A person who has metamorphosed in order to make a very comfortable living with a very interesting trade. Which is more offensive, this one? Or the ball players who are now deciding that they're moral and they need to fight this and they're going to insist that he get out of the ownership business, and so they could restore dignity and honor to basketball, not by their behavior, but by getting this guy out. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be out, but I'm saying, don't, what are you trying to pull here? What are you trying to pull? Who has demanded that the ball players clean up their act? We played just yesterday clips from Muhammad Ali with such piercing clarity about his relationship to his community and his duty and obligation to his community, and therefore the conduct that he held himself to in order to maintain credibility with the African-American community and with the world community as well. These folks don't know about that. They haven't had the courage, as Ali did, that said, I am not going to do as you wish me to do. They have decided they would live on the plantation. They will do what is required of them to go along and get along. And if a sex scandal, essentially, if this opens the door, then it is a civil rights issue. Because of the way this man is thinking, what is the correlation between what he's thinking and what he did with his team? Has any member of the team come forward and said, this man has done X, Y, Z to me, and I'm suing, and I'm looking for backup here, because my lawsuit stands to benefit all ball players? None of that courage. None of it. So I'll stop here for a minute. and I want to hear what you're thinking. But I'm saying I'm real clear. And the questions I have are not so much of this Mr. Sterling, because it is clear what he is and who he is. He's made that abundantly clear. I'm confused about the other folks who are, in my view, quite confused. 888-874-4888. Let me hear what you're thinking right after this little musical break. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. Your calls at 888-874-4888. Austin from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon to you, Eutrice.
Thank you. You too.
Would you prefer to me to riff off of what you said, or would you want me to take it on my own little direction here?
You do whatever comes to your mind.
You want me to improvise here? Okay, we'll do jazz radio here. Okay. Speaking of jazz radio, let me just put out a few little silly things, but with silly with hopefully a little commentary attached to them. When I look at this woman, the multiple name thing made me laugh, and maybe I can make fun of this because I can take license because I come from a Spanish-speaking background, but the whole multiple name thing reminded me. You remember sitcoms years ago used to have a Spanish-speaking character and would introduce himself as, "My name is Jose Mendez Figueroa Martinez Roberto Diego," a whole series of names, and that would be the corny gag, you know, that every Spanish person has 17 names, you know. So that sort of just reminded me, sort of took me back, that little thing. But
the names that she has legally changed her name to, she has legally done this,
really
suggests a person having basically morphing into different Stiviano would suggest Italian, Gallegos, which is Greek, you know, and then you have
Gallegos is Spanish.
But in a sense, Gallego, I understand that, but Gallegos...
Gallegos with the S is Spanish, actually.
Okay, well, yeah. It's also Greek. But it suggests to me a person who is having or in the midst of doing a lot of cultural change, identity issues.
Right. Yeah, because by the way, Gallegos is a plural for a Gallego, someone from Galicia. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For what that's worth, anyway, and she does look like a Twitter bot avatar. You look at her, and she looks kind of like an android and something from another dimension. But anyway, morphing into the more serious, one of the things that bothers me is that you listen to sport talk radio, which this is going to sound self-referential and precious, but makes me feel like a genius for the most part when I listen to sport talk radio and the dialogue. Because they attempt to make these absurd, moral equivalencies. For example, there's a train of thought that goes like this, where, this guy talked, but, and there's a proverbial but. But how about when Hank Aaron talked about, how white people gave him a hard time, and then people have to explain to him, this man was receiving death threats, and this man was in the process of setting a record, which a lot of people didn't want him to set. And... this man went through torment and agony, and the mere fact that Henry Aaron would talk about what he went through and use terms like, how white people may have given him hell, to take that and then bring it into the mind of a Sterling and draw an equal parallel moral equivalency, just shows the absurdity. And I think it speaks to the fact that there are so many people, and I think this operates on different levels of consciousness. I think racism for some people is a very conscious thing. For other people, it's a much more unconscious and in some ways even more perverse thing, because the racist that isn't aware or doesn't want to be aware is almost an impossible animal to talk to. And what happens here is people will self-justify and not even know what they're saying. I was going to say something, and I lost my train of thought, but I thought that there are so many people, for example, now it came back to me, that
okay.
they're going to,
what, so.
it came back to me clear. Let me just make this last point, Lucius, please. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for cutting you off there, but it just came back to me, that their purpose in life isn't so much to analyze the facts of what's going on here. It's that if their tribal whiteness gets challenged, they're going to say something. They're going to bring in the buts all over the place and decontextualize the situation and sort of, shift the locus of the discussion somewhere else. That's the point I was going to make. They might not even care or really know what's going on at face value on a specific situation. They're going to just shift it to something else. That's what I wanted to say. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for your call today, Austin. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Therese.
From New York, Jay, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice. How are you?
Fine, thank
you,
Jay.
This whole thing is just basically a waste of time. You know what I mean? This is an issue to whereas I think the woman was setting him up. The fact of the matter is that the NBA has known and supported and gone along with his behavior for the last 30-some years. Now we live in a climate where we want to make it seem like there's some sort of racial harmony in this world because we have the so-called first black president. The bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, in my community, which is the black community, we don't understand that to these white people, we are nothing more than culture capital. Once
but don't
we
say
understand
these white
it,
people.
No. Utrice, I'm gonna say it because there are a lot of white people, and I would say over 50%, who agree with the behavior that Mr. Sterling has put forward. And we have to be honest about that. If you look at our relationship with white people who are the dominant culture in the United States, strictly about exploiting your culture and your capital. It's
I'm
no
not,
loving
I'm not just,
thing.
I'm saying, if you're going to make a credible argument, you know, we want you to be situated, make your points that are provable. But you say over 50%. I mean, come on now, you didn't take a poll.
I would suggest that you say,
I think or I believe such and such, but to state
okay,
it as a
I
fact,
think or I believe, but the point is this: at what point in time will we as a nation be honest about what's going on in this country and call it for what it is, instead of having people like Sharpton and Jackson and them pimp off of us? Because that's now all they're going to do is pimp off of us off of this latest episodic incident that we're going crazy about that will only last to the end of this week or the middle of next week.
Amen.
Have a good day.
I agree with that, Jay. You're on the air. Dallas, Sarah, you're on the air.
Greetings, Utrice.
Thank you. You too.
Utrice, I agree with you in your opening introduction because and Jay as well, because I believe this is a non-factor issue. This was two people who were having a disagreement for whatever reason. This woman and her two lovers spat. She set him up, whatever the case was. They have this recording, and I guess she knew she was on her way out the door, so this was her leverage in order for her to do whatever it was. But this is not something that affects the entire black community. Yes, what he has said is showed the racism within professional sports, which is something everybody should already know. If you don't know that, then that is your problem, but it's something that should already have been known. So now that they're going to use us to try and drag us into this fray to say, okay, now it affects all black people. No, it does not. This is a wealthy business owner with some wealthy professional athletes who needs to address their issue, But once again, we're going to have the usual players who are going to come in, the paid players like Sharpton, Jackson, all of the usual crew who are going to come in here, going to get paid, and they're going to play this all up in the media for whatever reason, just to obscure other things, issues that's going on out here. And this is all going to go away. Like Jay said, it's going to flare up. It's going to run hot and heavy for the next week or so. It's going to go away. And then we're going to be right back where we are, because this country is not ready to really talk about race. They don't want the race issue, doesn't want to talk about race. And we are not going to get it done by trying to include the people who are the perpetrator of the crime. Black people are going to have to sit down by ourselves. We're going to have to discuss it, what it is that we need to do, and white people are going to have to handle their problems on their own. We cannot all the time, because anytime this stuff happens, Utrecht, as we see what happened with them, they're always going to have to go and get black spokesperson to come out and speak about white racism. Where are all the general managers? Where are all the coaches? Where are all the owners? They're all majority white. Why haven't they come out? Why haven't we been seeing Mike pushed in front of their faces to have them talk about what it is that they know goes on in the league? But they always try to get the Magic Johnson, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and all the usual people to come out here to make sound bites, but you don't see the white people out here talking about what they know is going on.
Amen. There's a lot of amening going on here today. That's absolutely correct. I agree with you 100% on that score. Thanks, Sarah, for your call. We have Queens. Chris from Queens.
Oh, hi, Utrecht.
Hello.
I just wanted to touch in on this. I was listening to you when you were talking to Gary Null before, and I was ready to hang up. I had something to do, and I decided to stay on the phone because I was curious to see what your take would be on this. Because this morning when I turned on my set, I just turned out of curiosity to CNN, which I don't usually do, and I immediately turned it off. Well, maybe it was last night. I couldn't stand it because you used a perfect word. They were like buzzards. And I'm so glad, I'm commending you, and this is not an ingratiating statement, for the fact that you have the intelligence to see through exactly what's going on here. I wanted to put a little bit of a different focus on this for a moment. I heard the recording, and aside from the fact that one of your previous callers said that she looks like an android from another dimension, the fact is that it's interesting to me, and really disturbing at a deeper level, because I think it really displays the toxicity of this culture. This focus on this, what I understand, is an 80-year-old man, and this woman, I believe, is not a day over 30. I think they said she was around 28 years old. Now, I really don't care if an 80-year-old man...
She's 31 years old.
She's 31?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I really personally don't care. I believe in people living their own lives. I think that Americans have had too much technology on their hands that they're not really appreciating to the fullest, and it's too much time getting into people's lives and criticizing people for having an affair on the side and having – it's their own decision. If you have politicians and their lives affect the way the decision that they're making for the rest of the people they're supposed to be representing, that's a different issue. I think Americans make way too many judgments without really understanding a lot of things. Now, having said that, it's interesting to me how this woman will probably end up getting a lot of interviews on TV. Maybe she'll even get herself a reality show. And I think her representation as a young – she's old enough to understand what she's doing. I don't think she's that innocent. You know, and the fact that there's no focus on the fact that this woman is attached to this man. She is young enough to be his, not only his granddaughter, but his great-granddaughter, right? And she's attaching herself to this really wealthy guy for obvious reasons. Maybe it'll give her a chance to get in touch with these, you know, good-looking players who are younger, and the fact that she's getting, you know, a lot of money on the side from him. So, you know, her not knowing her, and I've never heard of this man before, I have no personal stake in this issue, but, I mean, this whole approach to this sterilized and homogenized focus on this man, who obviously has issues, okay, but there are two points here, and I'm so glad that you made this point, because I'm wondering, what are we doing here with the way that we believe, what is our value system in this country at all? It has nothing to do with color. The fact that somebody in their own home okay, would be taped by a girlfriend or an ex-girlfriend without any consideration. And once this tape comes out, it is treated as if, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you mentioned this to a certain point. It's a very important point to make that it's totally overlooked that you have this young woman who's taping this guy, who's probably siphoned a lot of money from him, and this fool of a man, 80 years old, I don't know what he expects when he has an appendage, you know, a 31-year-old. And we're focusing on the nonsense that he was making, really in the privacy of his home. So what is the issue here? You know, exactly. I agree with you. I'm so glad that you focused on this, because I don't think it's about racism. One other point.
We have to go because they're signaling it's the end of the show. But believe me, we'll come back to this tomorrow. I'm going to see, of course, we'll all see what the basketball commissioner will decide at 2 o'clock, which is 2 minutes from now. But thank you so much. Thank you all for calling. We're going to come back to this discussion tomorrow. Be here. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.